Good morning. Happy New Year. Happy first Sunday of the new year. Just a few announcements before we get started. We'd like to welcome you to our worship service, Sunday Communion, Sunday of Communion. We'd like to welcome anyone who is joining us live on Zoom. We extend a special welcome to our visitors. And if you have not already received a welcome gift, they're back on the table as you leave. It will be saying a welcome bag on it. Pick one up as you leave the sanctuary after worship. Just an announcement about poinsettias. If you ordered one, you may pick one up. We have a few left, obviously, and please pick those up. The other announcement, which isn't in the bulletin, but I've just learned that a lot of you might have known Orrin Miller. He has passed away. He's now living, was in Arizona, but he did sing in cantatas and was a bright soul, if you will. So I just got that news to share. Today, during Growing Connections at 10:15, our topic will be sermon discussions led by Pedro Arellano. This is a time to reflect on the scriptures and message of the worship service. Wednesday, January 8th at 5:30, Women in Faith will be meeting for a light potluck meal and fun fellowship time with a snowman craft activity. Please bring old Christmas cards to recycle for a future craft activity. Wednesday, January 8th at 8 a.m. is the men's breakfast at Pump and Pantry. Enjoy a relaxed atmosphere with a freshly brewed cup of coffee and good friends gather around the table and always looking for new. Thursday, January 9th, Grief Share Support starts at 6 p.m. in person at First Presbyterian Church. It's a 13-week program designed to support those who are navigating the pain of losing a loved one. Please register in the church office. Sunday, January 26th at 10:15, we'll be having our annual congregational meeting and potluck brunch in Fellowship Hall. Come celebrate the achievements of 2024 and our plans for 2025. Pastor Craig is on vacation and will be returning on Monday. We thank and welcome Pastor Dan Schultz for sharing the message with us today. Pastor Dan is presently serving as chaplain at Generations Hospice here in Fond du Lac. And he also has been here and done pulpit supply with us in the past, and we're happy to have him here today. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship as the light of Christ is brought into our midst.
Please rise and join me in the responsive reading of the call to worship. Come, let us praise our God and Creator. Come, let us praise Christ our Savior. Come, let us praise the Spirit. Come with wisdom and understanding.
Let us hold in Christ together and praise God forever. Amen.
God our shepherd, you gather and watch over your flocks. You bring your people back from exile. You deliver us from our enemies. You make us well-liked, well-watered gardens and turn our mourning into joy. Grant us this day the gift of coming home to you and to your purposes, so that we might live together in the joy of our salvation. Amen.
Is
Our God, the God of grace and glory, can do all things. When we cannot do it, God can. God can change everything, our messes, the hurts we inflict on others, the way we stand around when we could be helping. God can renew, reshape, and restore us. That is how God loves us, and this is why God calls us to come and to be healed. Join me as we call out to our God, saying, Holy God, we confess that we have lost your way. We have held grudges and called for revenge. We have allowed hate into our hearts and have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have at times ignored calls for justice. Please take a few moments for silent confession. Forgive us, O God, when we forget your ways. Forgive us, O Lord, when we think our way is better. Call us back into living in the ways of love, restoration, and healing. Amen. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. When you love, when you forgive, you allow God's love and forgiveness into your hearts. You are forgiven, renewed, and restored. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please greet one another this morning in the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you. Thank you. Our first reading this morning is from Psalm 147, verses 12 through 20. We will read this responsively. Worship the Lord, Jerusalem. Praise your God, Zion. God establishes your borders peacefully. God fills you full with the very best wheat.
God issues his command to the earth. God's words be brought back.
God spreads snow like it was wool. God scatters frost like it was ashes.
God throws hail down like crumbs. Who can endure God's freezing cold?
Then God issues his word and melts it all away. God makes his winds blow, the waters flow again.
God proclaims his word to Jacob, his statutes and rules to Israel.
God hasn't done that with any other nation. Those nations have no knowledge of God's rules. The second reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing that comes from heaven. God chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless in God's presence before the creation of the world. God destined us to be adopted children through Jesus Christ because of his love. This was according to his goodwill and plan to honor his glorious grace that he has given to us freely through the Son whom he loves. We have been ransomed through his Son's blood, and we have forgiveness for our failures based on his overflowing grace, which he poured over us with wisdom and understanding. God revealed his hidden design to us, which is according to his goodwill and plan that he intended to accomplish through his Son. This is what God planned for the climax of all times, to bring all good things together in Christ, the things in heaven along with the things on earth. We have also received an inheritance in Christ. We were destined by the plan of God, who accomplishes everything according to his design. We are called to be an honor to God's glory because we were the first to hope in Christ. You too heard the word of truth in Christ, which is the good news of your salvation. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit because you believed in Christ. The Holy Spirit is the down payment on our inheritance, which is applied toward our redemption as God's own people, resulting in the honor of God's glory.
Our gospel lesson this morning is from the Gospel of John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life, and the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't extinguish the light. A man named John was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him everyone would believe in the light. He himself wasn't the light, but his mission was to testify concerning the light. The true light that shines on all people was coming into the world. The light was in the world, and the world came into being through the light. But the world didn't recognize the light. The light came to his own people, and his own people didn't welcome him. But those who did welcome him, those who believed in his name, he authorized to become God's children, born not from blood, nor from human desire or passion, but born from God. The Word became flesh and made his home among us. We have seen his glory, glory like that of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified about him, crying out, "This is the one of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is greater than me, because he existed before me.'" From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace, as the law was given through Moses. So grace and truth came into being through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side, has made God known. Here ends the reading of the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Good morning. So today is the second Sunday of Christmas. Yep, we're still celebrating Christmas. Oh, you thought it was New Year's. Well, you know, Christmas is, Jesus' birth is so amazing and so exciting and so important that we celebrate it for 12 whole days. That's pretty a lot, isn't it? And the Bible talks about Jesus coming to us in four books of the Bible, and those are called the Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? And Matthew and Luke, they start when Jesus is a baby in Bethlehem, right? Mark starts a little bit later. Jesus is a grown-up, and he's being baptized in the Jordan River. And then there's John. We heard that today. He starts a little bit earlier. Well, a lot bit earlier, actually. Did you hear what was just read? Yep. In the scripture, it starts all the way back to creation. In the scripture we read, "In the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And that word, was a capital W. What do you know about capital letters? Does your name start with a capital letter? Yeah, your name. And have you ever known anybody, maybe a girl that's name was Hope? Maybe. And if she writes her name, it's a capital H, right? But if it's just, "I hope I get to go to school today," then it would be a lowercase h. So the capital letter is an important thing, and it makes it different, doesn't it? Well, that Word of God is another name for Jesus. That Word that was there. Words are pretty important, aren't they? Yep, we use them to communicate, we use them to talk to people, but sometimes do you ever talk to people without using words? What do you do, maybe? Oh, sign language. If your friend gives you a thumbs up, are you happy about that? Yeah, maybe. If your friend smiles at you, is that a good thing? What if somebody gives you that look, like a mom look, like you're in big trouble? You know it, don't you? And no words were said, right? Words are pretty important, but we speak in other ways, and we speak with our bodies, too. We do things to tell people we love them or we're not happy with them. But the most common ways we talk and communicate with people are with our words, and sometimes you maybe will write a letter. Anybody here ever write a letter? Maybe a text if you're a little older, right? Few words, but a few words. And we talk to people and use our words, and words are pretty powerful. Well, I think that it's pretty cool that Jesus is called the word. Because what was Jesus' job to come and do? He was here to share God's love, to talk about that, to communicate God's love with us by the things that he did and by the words that he said. And he communicated that love to us. And that's pretty important, isn't it? And how does that make you feel when you know that God loves you and you, God loves you and God loves you and God loves you and God loves you? That's pretty special, isn't it? So this word of God is sometimes hard for even grown-ups to understand. But let's talk about and let's think about how God communicates with us about how much he loves us. Let's say a prayer to God right now. Loving and gracious God, we thank you so much for all of the people that you put into our lives. We thank you for the people that teach us more about you by the words that they say and the things that they do. We thank you so much for your son Jesus, who came to tell us and to show us the love that you have for us. We pray that you will help us to share that word of Jesus to everyone that we meet. Help us to share your love to everyone that we meet at school or in the streets, in the store, or especially in our homes. Help us to share that love. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
Well, good morning and happy new year to all of you. I'd like to thank you in particular for coming out on this cold January morning, particularly because you're coming out to hear me. The temperature outside, well, you know the old joke about Presbyterians being God's frozen chosen. The weather gives new meaning to that. It has been a while since I have been here. 377 days, 10 hours, and 44 minutes to be precise. But who's counting? I was last here on Christmas Eve 2023. And in between that time when Joanne started to hint that, you know, Santa only comes to good little boys and girls who are at home in bed, and you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. And this morning, as Joanne said, I have found myself as a hospice chaplain. Now, I tell people this, and they often react by trying to make me like some kind of saint or hero of some kind. I could never do that, they say. It's just too sad. The sadness would overwhelm me. And it is sad sometimes. You know, who really wants to watch people suffer? But more often, the work that I do is funny. It's moving. It's occasionally boring, actually, but it is uplifting and weird sometimes. I have stories that I cannot tell. Right? Being a hospice chaplain is not work I ever thought I would do, and yet every former parishioner who I've run into who has heard about it goes, yeah, that tracks, right? And honestly, how I got to this point is something of a mystery. And of course, I am indulging in a little bit of wordplay there. When we talk about mystery these days, We're usually talking about what? A detective novel, right? Or the kind of thing that you would have gotten away with if it weren't for those meddling kids. Or it may mean something beyond the limits of our current knowledge, such as a medical mystery, right? Something that we would be able to figure out if we had more data. But mystery was originally a religious term. It referred to those sacred teachings given only to those initiated into a cult. And that might be what Paul means when he writes to the Ephesians that with all wisdom and insight, God has made known to us the mystery of his will. God, in other words, has revealed what was previously secret by sending to us Jesus. And that makes sense on a couple of levels. First, that word used to translate mystery is originally a Greek word, and the word used to translate that word into Latin is sacramentum, a sacrament. So when we celebrate the sacrament of communion, for example, we are celebrating in part the abiding mystery of Christ's presence with us. And indeed, that was a mystery that used to be only for the initiates. In the earliest church, way before the time of Constantine, so you know, in the second century, third century AD, only the baptized were allowed to stay for communion, and the rest were dismissed after the sermon. So only those people who had been initiated into Christianity could take communion or even see what was going on in communion. But Jesus is also, as John tells us, the Word made flesh. In other words, he is the physical manifestation of God's secret teaching in his body, the primary sacrament of Christianity. As some theologians argue, that doesn't mean that in Christ God revealed something fundamentally new. It means that he makes explicit the fullness of God's love, which is already poured out into the world. Now, we're always aware to some extent of that love, but never fully. We bump up against it when we hit a limit that reminds us that we are kind of in over our heads. The death of a parent or a loved one, for example, leaves us feeling lost and overwhelmed. I'll tell you just one story from my work. I talked to the daughter of a woman who was dying on Friday, and she looks at me and she says, "Do you know anything that makes this easier?" And I paused and thought about that for a minute, and I said, "No. There really isn't anything that makes it easier. You just have to go through it." And that experience of going through it opens up these questions that we find difficult or impossible to answer. In the same way, it happens when we start to ask those questions about our own purpose and life that we cannot answer. Who am I? Why am I here? What do I owe to the world around me? And the encounter of God's love can, of course, also occur in moments when we receive profound love, grace, or forgiveness from God or from another person. We sense a depth to life, a beyondness that we can never completely explore or understand or grasp. There's this whole dimension out there that we cannot fully access. Mystery, in that sense, then, isn't a question we could answer if we only knew more or could think it through. It's more like one of these questions that only opens up more questions, continually pushing back the horizons of our existence. And as those horizons expand, we become aware of connections to the world outside of ourselves. We come to understand that our deepest questions can only be answered through understanding our place in a deeply interconnected system of reality. Which is to say, we cannot answer our deepest questions through rational analysis. We have to know through relationship. Jennifer was talking about how we can communicate without words, and it's true, just by being related to one another, we can know an aspect of the world that we could not otherwise. And to bring that all down to earth, think about how you would address a question like, what does it mean to be married to my husband or my wife? Right? I hear this question when somebody dies, you know, and they say, what does it mean that I've been married to this person for 60, 70, 75 years, and now they're gone? Who am I? What am I supposed to be doing now? And that's how we usually answer those questions, right? You say, what does it mean to be related to this person? And you start talking about what you're supposed to do, right? But it doesn't take much pushing to find those answers unsatisfactory. And the way you adults will be most familiar with that is, right, we think about marriage often as I'm supposed to be here to help raise the kids, right? We raise our children together, and at a certain point, your children grow up and they leave the house, and now what, right? Now how are we supposed to be related? The only real firm answers come through living. What does it mean to be married to my wife? Well, it means the entirety of 24 and a half years of life together and all of the experiences and all of the connections that have gone into those years. You can't wrap your head around something like that rationally. The only way to really know is to be, and to be in relationship. For that reason, if the gospel is to be believed, mystery always points us back to the reality of Christ, that relationship with Christ. And it can only truly be interpreted by that reality. Specifically, mystery returns us to the central paradox of the self-limiting God who would give himself up on the cross on our behalf. That relationship to and with us is a fundamental mystery that cannot be solved. And again, if John is correct, that fundamental mystery is how God has structured the very creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Another mystery. The light that shines in the darkness. How is it that God gave the world being, that Jesus was there from the very creation, and yet the world did not know him? How is it that the Word became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth, and yet it was rejected by us? The Catholic theologian John Haught suggests that rejection has to do with our inability to take hold of the peculiar idea that only a weak God can help, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer put it. And I agree. It scandalizes us to think that God could die. It trips up our hope and our trust for salvation into the hands of a God who is so vulnerable. If God can die, how can I live forever? I believe, the man says, help thou my unbelief. But it is in precisely that sort of stuckness that we experience mystery, and it is precisely in that experience of mystery that Christians are called to live. And that is not easy work. In fact, it can be downright threatening. What we do not understand, we cannot control. And what we cannot control threatens us. It threatens our sense of self. Because of that, most people don't take on these issues until they are forced to. But it is exactly when we come up against what we do not understand and what we do not control that we can grow in who we are. When we embrace our deepest questions, in other words, we begin to live the gospel. As we do so, we find, if not answers, then at least ourselves. Now, there is a reason that people who know me are utterly unsurprised to hear that I have become a hospice chaplain. I am, as it turns out, most myself when I am able to model God's weakness and vulnerability for the very weak and vulnerable. Or I'm, you know, most myself when I'm chatting with dementia patients. That works too, right? Now, I'm not saying this to put myself on a pedestal or to suggest to you that we should all be out there doing hospice work, although we are always looking for volunteers. But I will suggest to you that perhaps you too might find yourself and your place in the world by finding a place to give and to receive love, especially out there on those ragged margins of life. I have always said that the very young and the very old have something to teach us, something deep and profound. And that's really true. When you get to that point of being with people and opening yourself up to people who are completely dependent, you find something that you didn't know was there. Now, no one can force us to enter into that sort of mystery. We can only be invited to go deeper, to go beyond. That is a costly invitation, and it comes to us courtesy of Jesus, the babe born of Mary, the self-giving Word who created the world and accepted its limits only to be rejected by it. As we grasp that we are made in His image, we come to understand the world and our place in it, what we are meant to do and to be. The mystery of life and the possibility of its redemption is finally revealed in the true light that gives all humanity light, Jesus Christ. From the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another. And for those blessings, we can offer Him thanks and praise. Amen.
Oh, Word of God incarnate.
Now, before we go into the Apostles' Creed, I'm going to interject one thing here. Somehow, between us all, we neglected to put in a moment of prayers for the people. Oops. So, I'm going to say a prayer here, just very quickly. And then, during communion, I will come and sit over here. And if you have something that you would like to pray for individually, then come on over and sit with me for a moment. So, dear God, who loves us and who makes room for us in himself, open our hearts to those in need, our friends and neighbors listed in the bulletin, the dying, the grieving, and those in any need. Recognize and bless their struggles, and give us the grace of your Holy Spirit to enter into struggles with them, that we might come to fully know them, to fully know you, and to spread your blessing and your comfort to all the world. Pray to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, we believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Longing for life.
Wonderful God, who has given us so much, accept these first fruits, we pray, that you have given to us, now which we return to you, that they may do your ministry in the world, and that the love that they represent may be multiplied through our fellowship and out the world. We pray to you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is neither a Presbyterian table nor even the church's table. This is the Lord's table. It is prepared for those who love the Lord and for those who desire to love him more. All who believe in Jesus Christ are welcome to share in this meal. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give God thanks and praise. We give you thanks, Almighty and Eternal God, for by your word you have called forth creation. You have created us in your image. You led us from slavery to freedom, going ever before us with cloud and fiery pillar. With burning coals, you gave utterance to the prophets, demanding that justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. In the fullness of time, your Spirit descended like a dove upon Jesus, anointing him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who were oppressed, and to declare again the reign of God in our midst. When Jesus gathered together with his beloved disciples, he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Before feeding the multitudes, he broke bread and gave thanks. When two or three were gathered together, he broke bread and gave thanks. He sought the outcasts and broke bread with them, witnessing the fullness of your grace. O God, who is known to us in human flesh, send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these elements taken from your creation, that this loaf and this cup may be for us the body and blood of Christ, and we may be the body of Christ, food and life for this world. God of all nations, we give you thanks that we are all made in your image with such rich diversity. On this day, we are in solidarity with the faithful around the world. As we break bread together, we remember that we are still one body in you, even though we have different languages, cultures, and traditions, different ways of worship, praying, and praising. In solidarity, we drink the cup of hope together, of new life, knowing that your will is for your people to be one body. We are one body, but we are not the same. It is through the gift of diversity that we are able to be your body. We thank you and praise you for making us all who we are, individually and collectively. We each celebrate our own ancestry, culture, and ethnicity. We ask all these things and all things through Christ, with whom, and in the unity of the Holy Spirit be glory now and forever. Joining our voices with those from around the world, we pray to you as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. We give you thanks that the Lord Jesus, on the night before he died, took bread, and after giving thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come and share in the mystery of this holy meal. Amen.
Thank you.
God of abundance, you have fed us with the bread of life and cup of salvation. You have united us with Christ and with one another. And you have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. Christ, the Son of God, born of Mary, fill you with his grace to live in his mystery, trust his promises, and obey his will. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you now and always. Amen. Go in peace. May God fill you with joy to bring his good news to others today.